did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Maybe did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storms with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy was walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule in the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
Thank you so much, Esther, and thank you so much, Jeff and Dana, and all of you. Thank you for being here this morning. What a topic this morning, the second message from an angel during this time. And we're talking about the angel Gabriel. Last week we talked about him as he talked to Zacharias, and we've came home, I hope, with the thought of, you know, what is disobedience to God? Was Zechariah was shutting the mouth, the tongue stuck to the roof, a psalm that we know in the mid, I think Psalm 136, and we didn't obey and we couldn't speak and our tongue stuck to the roof of our mouth. This week, what a joyful message that Gabriel was able to bring and have the opportunity to bring here. I'm thinking of Gabriel and angels, all of them, because they were created, as we know, with wills. And if I'm thinking maybe correctly, if they were created with wills, they probably then had feelings, joy. You know, that heaven said, the Bible says that heaven is full of there's a party going on when someone comes to the Lord, and joy is there when one that's of a believer in Christ goes home to be there. You know, I was at a Bible conference one time and heard a speaker say, our God is a party deity. And I used to say party animal back in the day, but it was a party deity. And so I believe that Gabriel knew this time was coming. And I would think that he had an anxiousness about him to be able to go and say, Mary, did you know? And Mary, after this, of course, Mary is sitting up in heaven saying, I know, I know, I know. You know, I knew those things. But so we are going to look at that today, and we're going to, as we see it, see her responses and see what actually Gabriel said to her. And turn it on. All right, there we go. Okay, same as last week, right? Who was the message intended? Who brought the message? What was the message? What was the response to the message? And what is our response to a similar message that is brought? Well, we know that there's only one person in the world that this was brought to. This message was brought, and we find in Isaiah 7, 14, these words, and they were part of things that were on the board, or on the screen earlier. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So this person was chosen years and years, but we know that, don't we? Because we see in the scripture where Christ was ordained to become like a man before time. Because God knows all. Somebody said, how does God know this? And how does he plan it? And, you know, we have the Calvinists that think, well, it's all set. And then we have the Arminians that think, well, you know, we really not. And somewhere in the middle, we kind of sometimes hold hands. But I look at it this way. There's a beautiful parade. A beautiful parade. And, well, not this year. Okay. There was a beautiful parade. And I'm on the corner. And I'm watching things. And my friend is down two blocks. And he has a cell phone, and I have a cell phone. And I see something. Oh, look at that. Oh, here comes a band. You're not going to believe this band. It's fantastic. Oh, good. I can't wait. Oh, wait till you see this float. See, that's how we see life, as it comes before us. God is above all and sees the whole parade. If I had been up in the top of a skyscraper or wherever, I would see the entirety of that parade. But now I see it little by little. Paul said, as a matter of fact, I kind of see it dimly through a glass dimly, because we're not to where Christ is going to reveal everything to us yet. So we have this, and let me read a little bit of it, and then we will pray. And boy, we're in chapter 1 of Luke, and we're beginning in verse 26. We're going to read just a little bit. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for a time to share the Word of God. We ask that you would again be our teacher, and that the Holy Spirit would direct us and be with the one that's a messenger this morning. Give him the words to say, Lord, and the discernment that he needed to give this to the ones that are here this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So Mary is the recipient. It says here right there, you're going to go see Mary. Who? Gabriel. We talked about Gabriel last week, so we'll just quickly go over that. Gabriel, he stands in the presence of God. He scares people. We're going to see that again in just a minute. Old and New Testament, he can look like a man. Name is God is great. After the service last week, somebody said, does he have wings? What do you think? Let me go back to Daniel chapter 9. Remember that? Daniel chapter 9. I've got it right here. I put a marker in it, so I would not lose it. And it says in Daniel 9:20, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, this man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at first, came to me in swift flight. Now, if you read Revelation, you know that there are angels that have wings. I don't know if it was a, you know, like we, but or wings, but we don't know. It doesn't tell us. He may at times, he may not. And it's not what? Important for us to understand that now, or God would have said, that to us. But just so you know, there is a portion of the scripture that talks about Gabriel flying and being seen as he was flying. All right, so there we have. We have Mary. We have Gabriel. We have... Every week, Arch says he's not going to do this anymore. Okay, there we go. Two messages came to Mary, didn't they? One came in six parts, and one came in three parts. We're going to look at the first one, and then we'll see if we have time to go into the second one. Now, as Gabriel is there, and he begins to talk to Mary, he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Word of acknowledgement. Boy, you know, Mary, it's really good to see you. You're favored by God. And, you know, greetings to you. The Lord is with you. That's kind of cool. You know, we have a group of folks throughout the world that pray to Mary. You know, they hold her in such a high esteem, you know, when they confess sins, sometimes they're told to say five Hail Marys and one Our Father, and all is forgiven. And so we don't do that. We're not told to do that. That's why. Somebody says, "Why don't?" I have many Catholic friends, some that do pray to Mary, some that don't pray to Mary. You know, we don't do that. She was favored by God, but she wasn't put in the place of deity. We pray to deity. We pray to our Father in heaven, the one that has given us salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. So we have this group over here, and I believe, though, that we as believers don't give her enough. Christmas, yeah, Mary went, beautiful presentation. The cross, there she was at the foot of the cross, resurrection. I would think, as we read a little bit farther, let me read a little bit further, and then something I'd like to throw out there. But she was greatly troubled. Oh, again, a word to calming. Remember, sometimes Gabriel is a little scary, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus." So there we go with the next one. She's selected by God, a word of explanation of why Gabriel is there, and then the word of instruction. Zacharias last week was told, "You will name the child John." Now Mary is told, you will conceive in your womb, and you shall call his name Jesus. What a word of instruction. And then a word how God's plan will work. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. I often will try to imagine, as I'm reading scripture, kind of do stories in my head or pictures, as some of us did before TV. Now, some of you don't remember that. Others of us do. And when there was no TV, we had a little brown box. It was about this big and had two knobs on it. And we had to click it on, and then I'd turn it to 590 AM. WKZO, Kalamazoo, Michigan. Now it's time for the Lone Ranger. You know, you had to, as a kid, put the pictures in your head. You know, there was no visual. And then we loved being sick. So, because number one, we didn't have to go to school. I like school because I sat next to Sandy in every class. That was really fun. But we got to have the radio in our bedroom. Ta-da! You know, that was kind of cool. We listened to those stories all day long. And the Arthur Godfrey Show. Everybody remember the Arthur Godfrey Show? You know, Dennis, what's his name, was on there. But anyway, when I'm reading the scripture, I do the same thing. And I imagine Mary, almost like Esther, looked this morning, doing whatever she was doing, having the garb on of the time, and the angel coming to her, and let's say she had a pot of flowers or some meal in a basket. I bet she dropped it. Don't be afraid. Then when the angel began to explain, let me read it one more time. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom will be forever and ever and ever and ever. And Mary said, wow. Now, what did Mary say? She didn't say, wow. And Mary said to the angel, this is the response to this one, how will this be since I am a virgin? You know what? My mom's taught me. I have a wonderful mother, and she told me how I have babies, and when I'm with Joseph, what will happen, and how that'll all come about. And guess what, angel? You must have gotten the wrong lady. I don't know if the angel reminded her of the prophecy from Isaiah or if she knew it and it came into the back of her head. But this is where I believe we as Christian churches and evangelical churches maybe could pick up things a little bit. How would a class be run, held by an angel, no, held by a lady in the church called Be Like Mary for our young children, our young ladies? Teaching them purity, teaching them to love God, teaching them to obey the scriptures. Why don't we do that? Well, you know, they wouldn't, you know, it's how to dress, how not to dress. Between the worshiping and the Christmas, Easter celebrations of Mary, isn't there something else? Isn't this written for maybe another reason? I think about the young ladies as a youth pastor that would come in and out of my office over the years, you know, and the ones that would come into the office and say, you know what, I'm pregnant. And I knew it wasn't an immaculate conception, you know, weren't they taught, or were they taught and they just strayed away? But here we have this young woman that just grabs onto the fact that she's done what she's supposed to do. You see it like that? Hey, I'm a virgin, angel. I can't have a baby. I don't know. I've not had intimacy with a man. And the angel says to her, oh, that's the second message. We got to go back. We're going to go back to that in just a minute. Let's look at the first message now, as it might affect you and me. I know it does me. But as we look at those questions and the acknowledgement, the first one, and an acknowledgement of the living for God, what would that be for us? An angel probably is not going to come tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, great job today. Man, did you witness cool at work? Man, was your testimony at the grocery store great? You know, no, probably not. Maybe happened. Not limiting God. Matthew 25:23 says this, talking about the servants and the ones that Jesus had sent out head of the house had sent out to do things, and the one that had done things, the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Many times we as Christians take that to believe, and I think it's true that we do this, to the fact that we're going to enter heaven. I read somebody sent a really long, if your thing on Facebook is longer than this, I don't usually read it. But this one was from a friend, so I did, and it went on and on and on and on. And it was about the rapture and when they thought it was going to happen, and how they were so scared. You know, and they wanted to repent and get right with God, which is a good thing. And, but, you know, and, And so I, at the end, said, what is this? I don't understand what you're talking about. I have joy in my heart waiting for the rapture because I'm waiting for the Lord to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. If you're a Christian today and you have trepidation in your heart because of the rapture might happen at any moment, get right with God. Get right with God. Confess those sins that maybe you're afraid to face God because they're in your life. Get them out of your life. Or search your heart and make sure you're really a believer. Have you really followed Jesus? Are you really taking up your cross daily and following Him? So the first one, a word of encouragement from God. We're looking forward to that. The second one, to calm her. Well, this one, last week, this one is John 15:7 that I put. And there are so many verses for each of these. You know, I'm just taking this one and that one. And John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Huh. Word to take away fear. How about that? Yeah, if I abide in God and His Word abides in my heart, where would fear enter in? Fear can't battle against the Word of God. Impossible. Anything you fear, God has the answer that He has given you to overcome that fear. Now, that doesn't mean there are times in our life when we say, oh my, and I know Sandy and I at one time got a call, go to the hospital, our son had been in an accident, and there was that trepidation, that anxiety and fear, but we were praying as we went to the hospital. I'm talking about that thing that enters your life that keeps you from doing what God would have you do. Oh, really? That happens? I know men in the ministry that say, oh man, I was going to take that church. I thought God wanted me to take that church, but you know what? They only offered me $70 amount. And I was afraid that my family, and we do have to take care of our family. I've never ever, and I'm not doing this, saying this boastfully, but I've never asked a church that's called Sandy and I ever what the dollar was. A few churches ago, a guy said, we didn't tell you how much. I said, well, God told me to come, so He's going to take care of me. No fear. You know, there's folks in our congregation this morning that are doing job searches. And I love the fact that when I talk with them, there's no fear. There's the confidence that God has all of this in control. If we abide in Him and in His Word, nothing to fear. What's abide mean? Abide's a cool word because we don't use it anymore. Many words in the Bible, oh, I abide with Sandy. No, Sandy and I are shacking up for 53 years now. If you were ever played baseball, I was talking to Joe last night. Joe's played baseball, and some of you men and women have played baseball. And I played all kinds of positions, and Joe was talking about those. If you're a baseball player, you have a ball mitt, usually, in a different shape for different positions. Big one if you're a catcher. Pull that ball comes in there. Big one if you're a fielder, but it's wide. It's not as soft. Little one if you're an infielder, so you can get the ball out quick and throw it to second base and third base, wherever it is. See, when you're out in the left field and the batter hits a ball to you, you know what? You hold the glove up, the ball goes past it and hits the ground. The ball does not abide in your mitt at that point. The ball hits your glove, as we were taught as little guys, put two hands over it, bring it in. That ball abides there. That's what God's saying. He wants you to be that close to Him, so abiding in Him that you, when a fielder has the ball in his glove enclosed, you can't see the ball. You can only see the glove. And God is saying, guys, I want you to abide in me so closely that you don't, no one sees you. They see me. They hear me when you talk. They see me in your actions. So the word of the abiding. Okay, I can go way, get going too much on these. Selection. You know, Mary was told by the angel, you're selected by God. What is, let's see, Psalm 103, real simple one, right, for us? Know ye that the Lord, he is God, he hath made us, and we are not our, not we ourselves. We are individuals that can do whatever we want to, so please coexist. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Oh, I didn't really say that. I know that. We are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Wow. Always those wonderful, wonderful, going back to the shepherd in the Word of God. That wonderful picture that all the folks during that time understood so well. And we can too, if we just put our mind to it a little bit. The shepherd who cared for his flock were his. They were his sheep. He knew where they were. He knew them by name. He disciplined them when they would run off. You know that story about this, the little boy that was with his father, true story, out in the West somewhere here in the United States, and the little lamb had gone, run away from the flock, and the father got to the little lamb, and his son was with him, and the father got down to the lamb and took its back leg and broke it just like that. And the little boy said, "Daddy, Daddy, why did you do that?" Then the daddy took the leg and he splintered it and took that little lamb with him wherever he went from that day until the lamb was healed. The lamb never left. Never left him again. And so what God is saying here, we are his people, those of us that believe on Jesus Christ. We're in his pasture. Nothing to fear. Okay, the next one. Jeremiah 29:11. About the plans for us. We as Christians, I think American Christians, probably wonder and pace and ask the question, what's God's will for me, more than any other Christian people. I hear that around a lot. Sandy and I have some really good friends that are missionaries in India, by the way, and they live somewhere. I told this to Robbie one time. I said, they live on the Bay of Bengal. Where would that be? And he said, it's a pretty big bay, Arch, you know. But they live there 3 months, and they come home for 3 months. And he was telling me about when people, he owns a coffee shop. He can't be a missionary, so he has coffee shops, and he presents Christ while he's there, and his wife teaches. Long story, but that's not what I want to get at. He said, the people in India, as they're converted to Jesus Christ, seem to know what God wants them to do. He said he talked to a young woman, and they'll say after they're, you know what, I believe God wants me to go on to university. I believe God wants me to go into nursing. I believe, and it's like God's directing them. And again, I would sit in my study and people, what do you think God's will is for me? And I said, I don't know. He didn't tell me. He's supposed to tell you. I'll help you. We'll look at Scripture together. But here it says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you. This is God talking, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Well, hold on. We're living in COVID, God. Did you forget about 2020? Did that escape you? He said, that's not a calamity. That's an opportunity. And I've talked to many of you, and you'll tell me the opportunities you've had to witness and do things for Jesus because of the COVID. And all the things that have happened in our lives that we would look back on and we would maybe tell them to somebody, and they would say, that was terrible. Oh, no, this is what God did. Look what God did here. Look what God did here. And because those things that we have for this little bitty time that we're on this earth, it's probably you can't even see it. It's so small in the times of eternity and what God looks at. And he says, no, the plan I have for you, the fruition that plan is going to come to, if you abide in me and in my word, we're going back. These all are connected, aren't they? Then that plan. Okay, the next one. Excuse me. Titus 2:11 through 11 and 12. We did that a couple weeks ago. You know, a word of instruction. Oh, that is I've used this so much talking to folks lately about what's going on and what's, you know, the world around us. Titus, you know, is right before Philemon. And in chapter 2 and 11, it says this: "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live." Here's the instructions, guys. This is it. God gives it to us right here. To live, and I lost my place, in this, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Well, what, easy instructions? Not really, are they? Wow. You know what I did yesterday? I would confess my sin among everyone. I'm going down Empire, and there's a four-way stop at Walnut. And there's this Cadillac just coming right to the, you know, coming south on Walnut. And I've already stopped, and he's not going to stop. I was there, so I left. And I got in front of him, and I stopped, and I waved. I was so bummed out I did that. That was a terrible testimony. Just trying to tell him to slow down. That's not living upright. It wasn't godly. You know, I was going to get out, but he took off too fast. I couldn't catch him. I would have told him I was sorry. But those are the instructions that God has for us. And like I said, they're easy, but they're not. We look back in the scripture. Who was loved by God? Who had this? Who was a man after God's own heart? David. Oh, what a wonderful. He had no problems with these. Living a godly life, did he? No, it looks what out on the balcony of the palace. He's a king. Wow, his army's out fighting, doing a great job, and I wonder why that woman is bathing there. I guess I should probably go in and not watch. Wow. Go get her. Bring her to me. Now that doesn't give us an excuse to sin. It doesn't, because others have. And we look through, the Bible gives us the examples of their sin in the past as we go through it, so that we will know that there are temptations, there are pitfalls, but God is greater than those. And God can give us victory over those. There's no temptation given among men. You know that God cannot keep us from. Well, let's go on. Now, as I've got a couple more things before I want to close here, and I told Nancy I wouldn't ever look at my watch again. And I am. Well, if this is how everything, well, how does God work it? Philippians 1:6. You all know this. We could probably quote it together. And I love the second word, being confident. Being confident. Don't you like a person that's confident? Those of us that have had the opportunity to give interviews to people that we're going to hire, are going to be hired by a company. Love that person that is confident. And they come in and they sit down and they have that confident air about them. And as you're talking to them, you say, wow, they've got it together. They're confident. And it says here, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Don't have to rely on my own power, do I? I don't have to rely on my own strength. I don't have to rely on the fact that I have a wonderful, supportive wife. Why? Because God's going to work through us when we go back over that list again. You know, what he's done, what he will do, who we are in him. Man, this message that was given by Gabriel to Mary can just hit us right in the heart. I want to just to go to the last part. We're not going to go through the whole part of the second message. But as you know, that Mary tells The angel tells Mary about Martha, or about Elizabeth, not Martha. Those are two sisters and went to our other church, but that's another story. About Elizabeth and knowing the things that are impossible for God. And let me just, I'm going to read a little bit to you here. Starting in verse 36 of chapter 1. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, at her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, whom was called barren. And Mary said, this is the crux of the whole sermon, everybody. This is what it's all about. This is where it gets down and that tire meets the road or whatever that saying was. And Mary said, okay, I'll tell you again. Mary said this, okay, you ready? Mary said, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your words. And the angel departed from her. So after we go through those, as we get to the bottom, can we do that? Can we say that in maybe in unison or maybe in our hearts? Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Do I act like it? Do I look like it to the world? How do we know that someone's a servant of something or someone? It's who they represent. If you work for a company or work for a company, you are the servant of that company in a way that you represent it. You know, if we're doing things, we run into those representatives that are good and bad. You know, the guy that's been trying to tell me that my car warranty needs to be updated is really a hardworking guy, and he's a good servant to whoever he's working for. He's just not getting the right answers from me. But we're looking at the God Almighty, all of the things we said he could do, and it says, behold, I am the servant of... this is where that just blows my mind all to pieces. Young lady, young maiden, standing there, all of these things were told her. All of these things. And at one point she says, you know what, I'm a virgin. How can it happen? And the angel tells her what's going to happen, how the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her. I have granddaughters that are probably this age. They would have run into the house crying, screaming, oh, no, what's going on? I don't want it. The thing that little kids do now, you know. She stood there because she knew who God was and the power of God and said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Boy, did the wheels go into motion after that. We heard the story as it was related to us this morning. We heard how the plan of God happened and how she went to see Elizabeth. And when she walked in the door, the little John, you know, just jumped up and down inside his mommy's tummy with joy because the Jesus that Mary came with the story of what the angel had said. And then we saw what we're going to talk more about the trip to Bethlehem next week as we have the third visit of the angels, plural, next week as they went to see the shepherd. So no matter the situation, the unsurmountable task that might be before us, the disease that might be ravaging our land, color of the grass on the other side of the fence, can we stand firm and say that? Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. That's our task today, to examine ourselves and say, are we or can we? Because some of you are. Some of you are standing firm and you're saying, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. And others of you are saying, yeah, sometimes. You know, if it's convenient. If, you know, sometimes I had, many of us have had these types of individuals as acquaintances we were young at the time. His name was Ken, darling. That was a really bad last name to have back in the day, darling. We went to a clothing store one time and he and I were trying on suits for business. And I came out and I said, how does this look, darling? Remember, we used to call people by their last name back in the day, and the guy that was waiting on us looked at us like, what? And that was in the 70s, so it was before there's... But anyway, this guy, where was I going? Oh, had a father-in-law that professed to be a Christian. And Ken and I were talking one day, and I said, his father-in-law and mother-in-law were over visiting, and I don't remember his father-in-law's name at this time, but I said, where's your father-in-law? He said, well, he's taking his Sunday afternoon walk. And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, that means he gets a big old stogie, and he walks around the block and smokes it, but he doesn't want his wife to see it because she doesn't think a Christian should smoke a cigar. You know, and so, and I'm not judging his smoke, that was totally between him, but there are those things that some of us do at some times when others aren't there, others aren't around, maybe something we watch on TV or something else that we do, but, you know, behold, I am a servant of the Lord means always. Are we ready to do it always? Sometimes I think we're afraid to do it because we're afraid of the consequences. You know, I talked to that guy in the booth up there, Brian. You know, you all know Brian. If you don't, meet him afterwards. You know, and we talk about COVID and how many consent in our church. And, you know, what would happen if we all started living for Jesus and people started to say, where do you worship? We want to come and worship with you. Sorry, he can't. Well, we'll make room. We'll fill this place. We can get 50 more people in. Well, 20 more people in here. 30 more people. Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, thank you, Devin. Or maybe it's because, you know, I don't want to be called, we were used to be called in the olden days Jesus freaks. Remember that? Oh, you're a Jesus freak. I told the group of people the other day, I'm ordering sweatshirts. I'm going to order 5 of them. And they say on them, beware, I may start talking about Jesus at any moment. I'm going to offer them free to anybody that will wear it. And I wonder how many people would step up and say, I am going to offer it. Anybody that wants to wear it can wear it. Because then I want to hear your stories. See, the reason I'm here, part of the reason we're doing the tracks. You see the face mask. It says, First Baptist on Empire. Gold letters on a black mask. Anybody ever ask you about the mask? Say these two things. Oh, man, my sin used to be as black as this mask. But you know what? Now I have a treasure that's as wonderful, this gold, up in heaven for me because of Jesus Christ. Woo! You just did a sermon. All you did was point at your mask twice and hit your nose. You know why? Because you're a servant of God. But grab one of those on your way back and on your way out, and there's enough for everybody, I think. So as we close this morning and the guys come, they're going to lead us in our song this morning. I'm going to come up front because here's what I like to do. There may be somebody here today that just wants to spend some time at prayer. I'll social distance and I'll pray with you. But, I got to click to the words here, don't I? Oh, there they are. All hail King Jesus. If we're his servant, he's our king. And we can stand and praise him. We can kneel and praise him. Sandy, during one of the songs, said, oh, I want to put my hands up so bad. And I said, go ahead. She said, I don't know if I should. But you didn't, did you? You had them up partly. Yeah, well, there you go. That was good. So as we sing this song, we're going to stand together and sing it. We're going to sing it through twice. Then we'll have a benediction. But if there's something that you need to just say, Pastor, I want to talk to you about this in my life. I really want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. I want to be able to say, behold, a servant of God. Just take a moment and come down. We'll pray together. And we'll sing the song. Guys, would you lead us in this?
Oh, hail King Jesus. Oh, hail Emmanuel. King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. Sing his praises, and I'll reign with him throughout eternity.
Again this week, let's sing it again. again softly as a prayer. Joshua, knowing that you are our leader, you are our king, and we are your servants, and what we do daily, we do because and only through you. Help us to abide in you and to abide in your word so that we can be found faithful. In that time when we come before you, whether it's a rapture or through death, and we stand there and we hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Lord, we pray for that. For the ones that are here today, Lord, I thank you. We ask that you dismiss us now with the benediction of love, comfort, and grace given to us freely through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.